information right here on Colorful Radio. But straight after that, we've got something very important to discuss. End-of-life care and palliative care as well, something which we don't really focus on in our communities. Now, if you don't know what that is, end-of-life care is support for people who are in the last months or years of their life. And it also includes palliative care, which is specialized medical care for people with serious illnesses. And it focuses on providing relief from the symptoms, pain, and stress of a serious illness. Now, the aim of palliative care is to help you to have a good quality of life, which includes being as well and active as possible in the time that you have left. It's a very serious conversation that we need to have, and we will be having an external speaker on our show this morning. So stay tuned for that after the Colorful traffic and travel information right here on Colorful Radio. Yes, we are on Colorful Radio. If you are just joining us, we are on Startup Africa. That's my show on Thursdays. Interesting. No, we are live here on Breakfast, and we have a conversation that we need to talk about, which is what I was prepping you guys for earlier, where I said, you know, end of life care is support for people who are in the last months of their or years of their life. And it also includes palliative care, which is a specialist medical care for people with serious illnesses. Now, there is concern among health care professionals who have highlighted the very low numbers of ethnic communities, African, Caribbean, and Asian people accessing end-of-life and palliative services. And I did say we'd have a speaker this morning from Diversity House, which is a charitable organization providing both community and prison-based services for diverse communities with the aim to promote community integration, reintegration, and social inclusion and cohesion. Now, Diversity House will be hosting an event this Friday, the 1st of February, in regards to raising awareness around end-of-life and palliative care among ethnic minorities. They want to understand why there are such low numbers of people accessing the support and information. As part of that, Christine Locke is the CEO of Diversity House, the charity, and over the past 10 years, she has successfully led the charity, developing and implementing varieties of projects such as community rehabilitation programs for offenders, promoting the involvement and participation of disadvantaged women and girls in Kent, among other things. Christine, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Okay, brilliant. This is great. Christine, we've got Timayan and Nigel in the studio with us, hoping we can have this conversation. But we wanted to find out from you what message it is that you have for us this morning.
Yes, like you rightly said, Black and ethnic minority communities are not using services, community care services, especially health and social care. And we are worried that this health inequality is prevalent among those communities.
Right.
But when it comes also to palliative care and end of life, it seems that these communities are unaware, or there are a problem of cultural or social norms that are making them not to actually explore and use those services. So over the past 8 or more years, we've been working with other partner organizations, such as the University of Greenwich, Eleanor Hospice, and many, many other organizations trying to raise awareness amongst these communities in terms of palliative care and end of life.
Right.
And so what we want to do, the aim is to create an awareness for these communities to use these services when it is needed for them.
Yeah.
To improve their understanding of how to engage and participate, and also have open conversation with regards to these subjects.
Now, yesterday when we spoke, you said that you were trying to demystify the concepts of palliative care. What do you think people think about it from our communities?
Yes, both traditionally and I think in terms of religion, our culture makes it a taboo, or it's kind of sacrilege to talk about death. And anything surrounding it. So the fear of death, the fear of that if you mention it, then it's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Which in reality is not, it's not so. And if you have life, then you will die.
It's a fact. Yep, correct.
Yes. So one, you know, you don't have 100% of something apart 100% statistics that yes, everyone will die.
That's correct.
It may be now, it may be in the future, but for every man, it's a sign that there'll be a day that you will die. So why not try to understand and put your house in order before it happens? But actually, knowing about palliative care and end of life does not mean that you're going to die now.
It's just being informed, isn't it?
You're just being informed and getting understanding that in case, if you have a long-term illness, there are services out there to make, you know, to improve your quality of life. Palliative care, like you rightly said, does not mean the person is dying. It may mean that somebody has a chronic illness.
Yes.
Then the person needs, you know, a kind of support. So,
but then I think there's also this the notion that, you know, especially when you hear about it within our communities, the fact that everybody's thinking, well, we've got families, so the expectation is that we will take care of one another on our own. It's not something that we actually think about, you know, there's services that we can access. What is the impact of not actually discussing or getting all the information that's necessary?
The impact, you remember that now, most of us, tradition, we are now actually in a culture that is we don't have that extended family. Most of us, our families are all over, scattered all over the world. So, and we are here. It's important that you need to understand what to do, understand the help that is out there for you. You may have children and you're banking on your children that when it comes, they'll be around. What if your children are in Australia and they're not there at hand to support you?
That's correct.
So is it not? Does it not make sense that if you pay tax, you've been working here for years, that the support that you need at that time, that crucial time in your life, that you are able to, you know, to access those support that is there. So it makes sense that you need to do that.
I've got one thing
I want to say also, Desiree. It's important, ma'am, to highlight that with our Christian religion, some of our, you know, religion tells you that when somebody talks about it, they will say, oh, return to sender, you know, that kind of thing. As if, oh, God forbid, something like that. As if you're telling them that, as if you're pronouncing that they're going to die. You're not making any pronouncement that they will die. You're only trying to help them to understand. It's just like taking insurance. So why is it that people go and take health insurance? People go and take life insurance? People take insurance for their cars? If you can take insurance out for your car, why can't you actually, you know,
get insurance for your life?
For the services that is there to give you good quality of life.
Yeah, I just want to bring in Tamayan for a second because she wanted to say something as well.
Yes. Hi, Christine. I was actually going to touch on that. excuse me. I was going to touch on that very point that you made because, you know, it's very difficult within the church. You know, God bless them. They've done a lot for the community. But there is this thing where it's just like it's very taboo to talk about death, even though that's the most sure statistic there is in life. And I wanted to ask you, do you feel like do you feel like they're doing it on purpose, or do you feel like it's a genuine thing where they're like, I don't want to talk about death because that means it's coming to me? Or do you just feel like the church is misinformed, or does the Bible actually preach that we shouldn't talk about death? Like, is there something that they're saying that is true to what they're saying, or are they just completely misinformed in your opinion?
I don't think that they're doing it deliberately. I don't think it's something they're just doing out of spite. No, I think the church will need to work hand in hand with public health and health promotion people and clinicians. The church, you know, we don't know everything. We need knowledge. So I would think that the leaders in the African churches, or we need to get some information and support. It's out there for the public health. And I think that's why Public Health England is working with us on this subject. Mm-hmm. The health promotion practitioners and public health specialists need to go out there, and community development in health mm-hmm. need to go out there and communicate with our Black churches,
yes.
you know, and all the ethnic minority groups, whether it's in the mosque, whether it's in the temple, wherever they are, they need to go out there and reach out and stop using this language of difficult to reach communities.
Mm.
None of these communities are difficult to reach, but you need to find work in a flexible way to find where they are,
yes.
and give them this pertinent information. Create an awareness, because you know, let me now quote the Bible. The Bible says, "My people die for lack of knowledge."
Amen. Amen.
She's sending her. Yeah, Christine, I'm just going to bring Nigel in because he also has something to say about this.
Yes.
Hi, Christine. Just a quick question. So I was looking over something yesterday. I think it was a Mary Curry report, and it was saying that I think at the moment there's about 500, half a million people from ethnic minorities accessing palliative care. But I think the report was saying by 2026, there's expected to be over, well, a doubling over a million or so people from ethnic minorities who are needing this. So obviously your organization is doing a wonderful thing speaking to us yesterday and today.
Yes,
but you know, what else could we be doing? Are you at an event soon? Should we be following a particular website? Where else, if people want to get in contact, where else can we hear? Because we don't want to wait until 2026 and then suddenly yes. cast our mind back to yes. this conversation which we had in 2019. So where else can we hear about you? What else should we be doing?
Yes, to hear about what we do and to get in touch. In fact, I need you people. I need your support. I need your radio support. I need everybody to be on hand. And if you want to reach us, you go to www.diversityhouse.org.uk. You also can phone us on 01795-420455.
Yes.
You could go to our Facebook, Diversity House, or Twitter, just at Diversity House.
Mm.
But you can come to Swell. We are based. We have offices in Swell, which is in Kent.
Yes.
Come to Swell, Sittingbourne, and see us there. But we also, because we are one of a kind. Our charity is one of a kind. You could see it says Diversity House, Social Inequalities. So we are not just, we didn't pigeonhole ourselves to just talk about old people or mm-hmm. people with disability or women.
Yeah.
Whatever social inequality,
yeah.
whoever you are, whatever background you come from,
yeah.
we're using intersectional feminist framework
yes.
to look at every aspect of human beings' life, mental health, youth,
yes,
whatever it is,
Christine,
that it's making people out of their, you know, to be disadvantaged, we'll work with them.
Hi, Christine. I just wanted to also mention as well, we just absolutely love your passion as well, you know. What you're doing is an amazing
it's
work.
It's very rare.
And I really hear your passion about it, and I'm so grateful for, we are so grateful for the work you're doing. And I wanted to ask, where does this passion come from? How did you get started in it? And it's like, yeah, what is your real inspiration behind this? Because it is a very important work, and this is the first time I'm actually hearing this, so why is it so not talked about? And yeah, what pushed you forward into this journey?
Okay, my passion comes from way back in Nigeria, where I come from. In Nigeria, we understand community development.
Mm.
We do not wait for people to do things for us. We work as communities, put our resources together to develop our villages, our clans, our tribes. So that's what we do. And I learned that when you join hand with peoples, social change could happen.
Mm.
And when I came to the UK some 20 years ago, unfortunately, I came to Swell, which was, at that time, mainly a white community. And I was only the black face you could see from Monday to Monday. And being that I married to a white British man,
yes,
I just stood out like a sore thumb, you know. Everybody looked at me in a funny way. And I didn't know where to go. There was no support. I was just floating. So I decided, because of all the things that I saw happened at that time, I decided I'm not going to let people feel excluded, because nothing affects people's mental health than just being ignored, you know, languishing without support, any kind of social network. I decided I've got to bring these different communities together, because to be honest, you can't blame a white person that's never seen a black woman being before. They'll be afraid of you. They don't know who you are.
They don't know you. They don't understand.
They don't understand. So it's left for us to also reach out our hands there and say, this is us. We don't bite. Mm. And so that's why I started the charity, to pull these different communities, because the world is a global village now.
It is. Well, good on you.
So we've got to pull people together to live in harmony. Yeah. It's important we live in harmony.
Very inspirational.
And if we live in harmony, then every community will bring their social capital and develop where they are living.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Fantastic.
So amazing.
Christine, we've run out of time.
We've run out of time.
It's gone so quickly. We've enjoyed this time with you, Christine. Yes. We might be calling you back to give us some more information, because this is a conversation that we need to have the community as well. Wake up, shake up, and step up to breakfast here on Colorful Radio. We're having so much fun in the studio. But we're coming to you live from the Africa Center and broadcasting across the UK and beyond on colorfulradio.com. This is Kush, Dr. Dre featuring Snoop Dogg and Akon. I'm not alone. I'm with the lovely
Tamayan
and the stylish
Mr. Gordon.
Earlier on, you guys heard from Christine Locke, the CEO of Diversity House, focusing on end of life care and palliative care amongst ethnic communities. Now, they have an event that's happening on Friday in Sittingbourne. But if you want to find out more information, go to www.diversityhouse.org.uk or feel free to call them on 0179 5420455. Fantastic job, Christine and the team at Diversity House. Hats off to you.